Give me a mountain and nothing to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and smooth, refreshing mountain dew.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CanCast episode number 301. I am your host, GPD, coming at you from Tokyo, Japan. And as always, the one, the only, Wombat.
Hi. Wow, that was lots of build up for that. You sounded like a duck when you said that.
Affleck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, the always lovely Shipwreck.
Hello. Only 10 more episodes until we can make 311. References.
The rock band?
You can call them that, I guess.
Are they still a rock band?
They're still around because when I was in Fort Lauderdale earlier this year, I saw a bunch of people coming back from a 311 cruise.
Cruise?
Yes, apparently you can go cruising with 311.
Shit. That sounds like something I don't want to do. I'm down. Down. Right?
Yep, that's down. Pretty much all I know.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, first I have to apologize to everybody for not having a show last week. It was definitely my fault. We had a big event in the family. It's Ty's fifth birthday. If you can believe that, Ty's five already. And in Japan, they have this thing called Coming of Age Day, where I think
you got him a prostitute?
Yes, he's now a man and a bar mitzvah. Prostitute and a bar mitzvah equals man. No, it's when your kids turn 3, 5, and one other, maybe 7 or 6, maybe
other odd numbers,
some other number, and it might be different for boys or girls. I don't pay that much attention, but they have this thing called Coming of Age Day where the kids, you know, get dressed up in traditional dress and they go to a temple or a shrine or something, and they get a ceremony performed by a monk. And so we decided to do that because we had never done it before. And, you know, you get to choose, you know, they take, we had like this package, right? My wife found this package where this temple would, you know, they had like a photo studio in there. They rent you the kimono, which is the, you know, the outfit, and they do the ceremony. It's like one-stop shopping for this particular.
Did you get to stay in the hotel on the temple grounds?
No hotel required.
So you read the monorail in.
Right. It's not like that. We took a taxi. So you have to choose when you're buying this package, it comes with one picture from the photo studio, and they hand you a book and you have to choose the pose that you want your child in. And there's one where like he's standing next to a lantern, there's one with an umbrella, and there's one with a fucking samurai sword. So I pointed to samurai sword, like, we're definitely doing samurai sword. Now, if you click that link, you see that link there on the outline there, that Flickr link?
Yes, that's the picture.
Yeah, that's the picture that I took off the computer screen after the photographer took the picture and it appeared on his computer. But it's pretty badass, and I can't wait to get the actual other pictures. There's one of him where he's actually pulling the sword out of the scabbard. And
sheath,
and it's like right by, it's pretty badass. It's like right by his face, but I'll post this other picture.
Now, is it a metal sword or was it like a wood sword?
No, it was a metal sword. It's dull. It's, you know, it's not, it's completely dull, but it, when he pulls it.
Would you let him hit you with it?
No, because you still poke your eye out with it. You don't get to keep these things. It's just for the photo. But it was awesome. It was. I can't wait to get the pictures back. We'll get them back.
He's really rocking the whole socks with flip flops look there.
That's not. Those aren't flip flops, Ship. Those are.
They're traditional samurai shoes.
Those are
shower shoes.
Those are not shower shoes. That's traditional Japanese footwear, and those are the traditional socks where it has the little like groove already built into the sock between the big toe. And the other toe, so the
flip flop socks.
Yeah, do those exist in America?
I don't think so. You know why? Because we wear shoes that are closed.
Yes, so do I. But Anyway, it was a lot of fun, but it was cheaper if we did it during the week, so we wound up doing it on Friday, and Osaka Grandma came in, and it was just, we took the week off. Anyway, it was fun, and I look forward to sharing those photos with you, besides the shitty one that I basically stole from them. But yeah, so that's exciting. We got that going on. A lot of stuff to talk about this week on the show. We're going to talk about... What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about XCOM. We're going to talk about Hotline Miami. We're going to talk about Cairo, Happy Action Theater. A lot of controversies going on in the gaming media. We're going to talk about that shit. And a bunch of other shit. Apple shit. It's a lot of shit to be shitting out of our mouths. So, yeah, let's... You want to do some Watch This Bitches? I see there's a lot of Watch This Bitches.
There's a handful of them, yes.
I didn't even put mine on there. So who's going first?
I'll go first. I've been watching Comic Book Men on Hulu.
I don't even know what that is.
It is a reality show based around Kevin Smith's comic book store in, I guess it's in New Jersey.
Oh.
Somewhere out there okay. On the East Coast.
Yeah, it's in Red Bank, I believe.
Yeah, that's where it's at. I have no clue what that actually means, but... I remember that name now. So it's kind of like a setup, like a Pawn Stars type of thing where they come in and just bring really nerdy items, comics and figures and toys and all that stuff.
Right.
But it also, I guess there's a podcast that goes along with it because it shows them all in studio recording the podcast as well.
Yeah, they've had a show for a long time. The part of the Kevin Smith
There's
Smith
six
network.
Episodes of the TV show.
Yeah, the podcast has been around longer.
But I guess it just started up again. Like I watched the shows from last season and those were hour long shows and now it came back in like a half hour format for the fall. So I'm not really even a big Kevin Smith guy, but I like nerdy stuff. So it
people will bring in like, oh, I have this copy of Transformers #1. What's that worth? Is that what they do?
Nothing.
Well, I know it's worth nothing.
That's basically what it is.
I know it's worth nothing because I have it.
Right. A guy brought a Batmobile by. Like, it's all very staged what people are bringing in.
Like Pawn Stars.
But, yeah, like Pawn Stars. It's basically the Pawn Stars format, but dorkier.
Have you watched Toy Hunter yet?
No.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, Toy Hunter is essentially a similar thing. He actually did an episode where he went to Cincinnati. As Shipwreck knows, a lot of classic toy companies used to be based in Cincinnati. And he goes around and he meets people and he buys their old toys. So, and then he sells them in his shop and he finds some really cool stuff. You'd love that show, Shipwreck. Particularly, you know, he finds a lot of stuff in boxes and he found, you know, it also very staged, like when he found the prototype Boba Fett action figure with the launching rocket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
He found one of those. Yeah. I mean, that was like his biggest ticket item to date.
Right.
But he's found some pretty cool stuff.
That kind of stuff around Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, I do have Hulu, so I can check out Comic Book Men. So that's
then
good.
You should.
And speaking of Hulu, I watched Arrow. Yeah. I watched the Green Arrow show on Hulu.
Have you watched all three episodes yet?
No, I watched the first two.
Okay. I actually missed the second one. I watched the new one last night. So
how was it?
We're sort of on the... It's good. It was good. It was a good episode. It's got... I'm not spoiling anything. He shows up right in before the credits roll. But Deadshot is the villain.
I don't know who that is.
With him. He may have shown up in one of the animated movies that you've watched.
Is he good at shooting? Like, does he do trick shots?
He is good at shooting.
Cans off of fences?
Right. He can shoot. I'm pretty sure he could shoot a can off of a fence. But I wanted you to watch the show, Chi, because I figure with all the... You've been watching a lot of the DC comic animated movies.
Right.
And you may know more about DC comics and characters and, you know, little in-jokes on this show that you may not even have realized you would have known.
I didn't pick up on any of them, quite frankly.
No? Nothing?
Nothing, no. I watched the show, and it just seemed like it was, you know, I didn't pick up on anything.
It was a show about Green Arrow.
Yeah, it was a show about Green Arrow. It was this dude, and he seems like a lot like Batman, except he wears a hood and uses a bow and arrow. And other than that, he's basically Batman. He's the son of a billionaire whose parents are dead. No, his mom is alive. His dad is dead. And now he's like a vigilante. It's basically the same thing.
Pretty much, but that's pretty much Green Arrow.
Yeah, it's also good. It's good. I mean, I have to say, it's well done. The best thing that I can say about it is that it doesn't seem like a network TV show. Like, it seems pretty well produced.
It has a lot going for it.
Yeah, what's the thought behind DC like not calling any of their movies or TV shows the name of their characters?
Right, Smallville, Arrow.
Yeah, Smallville and Arrow. I think the Dark Knight.
I mean,
I think it's an attempt at being cooler than they really are. Hmm. And also, I have to say this: Arrow is good, and I like it a lot. And right. It makes me wonder. You know, the Warner Brothers owns DC, and they have the rights to use pretty much every character. Some characters are tied up in movies, but not every character.
They got like Deadshot.
He was available? He's actually performing at Ty's birthday party next year.
Deadshot, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to do
trick shots.
Don't
let him kill anybody.
Trick shots.
But, you know, I mean, like, I don't think Hawkman is tied to any movie, or even, like, Elongated Man, which sounds dumb to you guys, might make for a good TV show. And it has recognition and would definitely garner some buzz and press.
Wait,
I'm surprised.
Elongated Man has recognition.
What is Elongated Man?
You'd be surprised how many people would be interested in an Elongated Man TV series based off of Ralph and Sue Dibney. I don't think I would.
My wife would be interested in an Elongated Man, but maybe not in the way you
think. Besides the fact that he had the powers of Mr. Fantastic, they would, as a couple, were private detectives. So it would actually work very well as a TV show. It would be similar to like a Bones, but one of the characters would be able to stretch like Mr. Fantastic.
I guess I just realized why they call him Mr. Fantastic.
The ladies must
call him Mr. Fantastic.
It would actually work really well as a TV show, not that I feel the need to explain that. But anyway, They own these characters and they have the rights to it. I'm surprised there's only one DC comic based TV show.
You're surprised they went with Green Arrow instead of Elongated
or Hawkeye.
No, I think Green Arrow makes sense. I'm just surprised.
What about Aquaman? Aquaman's available.
They tried to make an Aquaman show and never made it past pilot.
Imagine that. Yeah.
I know. See, that I think is harder to wrap episodes around, because every episode has to take place underwater or around water,
right,
or at the aquarium, like, or SeaWorld.
Right, like The Simpsons when they did the takeoff on Knight Rider. It was like Nightboat,
yeah.
Everything's
there's always
near
a fjord.
Yeah. There's always a river nearby. Arrow's good. I like it.
I also watched a documentary called That Guy Who Was In That Thing.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. It's about actors that you would, if you saw them, you go, oh, I know that guy who was in that thing. And it just talks about their careers and how they get parts and, you know, it's just a very interesting documentary about Hollywood and acting. And if you're interested in those kind of things, I think you'd really enjoy it. It's a very fast watch. I think it's only about an hour and a half long.
Is Larry Pine one of the guys?
I don't think so.
I see him everywhere now. He used to be on Chips, but now he's like, I don't know. I just see him.
He's Chris Pine's father.
He is. You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No.
He was in Chips, right? That's the guy.
Yeah,
the chief.
The chief on Chips,
yeah,
is the father of Chris Pine from Star Trek.
I did not know. Yeah. See, wow, that's awesome.
Look at that. Why
did I do the show?
That?
I
that's
learned
the
things.
Question.
Shit.
Elongated Man. They can make an Elongated Man show starring Larry Pine.
Elongated Man. All right, let's do some show feedback. That was my porn Elongated Man song.
Mm.
How about some show feedback, Wama? You put a
it's
lot
still
of show
better
feedback.
Than. Well, you know what? Most of it was centered around your lame-ass contest.
That nobody guessed.
Yes.
Nobody will ever guess in the history of mankind.
Okay, well,
you told me the answer. I still don't know what it
did
is.
Did I tell you the answer? I don't think I did.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, you told us.
You did.
So I thought, well, what I would do, so people wouldn't think that like I just made up some contest that nobody could ever win just to say that we had a contest and then I could keep
Yeah, you're
money.
No Donald Trump.
Right. So what I'll do is maybe at the end of the show or wherever I decide to edit it in, I'll edit in the actual song.
That still nobody's going to get,
but at least I can't be blamed for being like having no idea what the song sounds like when I was humming it or whatever. So I'll put the actual song in, and if nobody gets it, nobody gets it. But I think somebody out there will get it, especially if they've been a long time.
Somebody's going to Shazam it. And then maybe they'll
No, definitely. It's definitely not on Shazam or whatever.
That would be awesome if it was.
It's not. And
Shazam, that's another one.
So if you hear the song in the episode, Shazam, right? He's pretty good, though. I like Shazam.
Yeah, me too. Captain Marvel, the big red cheese.
So, yeah. Now, I feel like we should make it the first person who answers it in the forum thread gets it, because I'm worried that someone, if we just say like, oh, if everybody who knows the answer send an email to here or whatever and we do a drawing, some asshole might just like post the answer and then, I don't know, then it means nothing for like the few people who actually knew what it was. So I'm still going with first person who gets it in the thread, in the show thread. So listen for
whoever guesses Deadshot's theme.
Right. Right. You have a better chance of describing what Elongated Man looks like than answering my...
He wears purple and white and with a little bit of black.
Right.
And he drinks the Gingold root to give himself stretchy powers. Really, how do you not know this?
Ginkgo root?
I think it's Gingold. Gingold?
Some made up shit.
Really? From a comic book? It's made up?
Well, I thought I got excited. I thought I could drink some ginkgo and be bigger.
Some
anyway.
Ginkgo biloba. Yes. Anyway, show feedback?
Right, show feedback.
Vegan had to say, personally, I think this second-handed method of recalling bits from old episodes is more fun. And I agree. We got a lot of positive feedback of the way that we did it. Cheapy, you mocked me.
I mocked you. I take it back. It was good.
Thank you. That's all I wanted.
You have my praise and admiration. Mm-hmm. And
my blessing to do it on episode 400.
Yes, and certainly it's less work for me, so I really
totally.
Like it. Yeah,
seriously, I made it easy for you. I did all the legwork, and you still told me that it was dumb.
Right, I was in a bad place there. I was in a dark place. I didn't know what was going to happen with the Elongated Man TV series. I was really depressed. Should we move on to new releases so we can... talk about the games, so to speak?
Sure. What do we want to start with here? I've played a very small amount of Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Warfighter!
I heard it's amazing.
It's, I don't know, it's a military shooter. I've really only played about 15 minutes of it because... I turned on my PS3 and I had to download a system update and install that. And then I had to install the patch or download the patch for Medal of Honor and install that. So 45 minutes of my hour that I had to play Medal of Honor.
I was watching a bar go across the screen.
Well, it was running to Subway and getting some delicious Subway. Mm.
Did you have it your way or whatever the commercial says?
That's Burger King.
No, that would be Burger King.
Yeah, what's the one for whatever? Where it could be a kid?
Yeah, that's it. It's where Robert Griffin III eats. I think that's their slogan.
All right, so it's not really fair to talk about it since you've only played
not really. I thought my PS3 about blew up though when I was like, you get to this part at the end of the first section where you come up through the water. It's a dark and stormy night. You get a quote from JFK. And you're, I don't know, shooting dudes in the head, as you're prone to do in these games.
Era, shoot these dudes in the head.
Yeah.
Why are you not shooting these dudes in the head fast enough?
Exactly. So you get the little diamond that says, hey, shoot this dude in the head. And then you get to a point where it's like, hey, shoot this helicopter in the head with this rocket launcher.
Shoot the helicopter.
This helicopter has a head. Shoot it.
And so I do that and like it explodes. And then like my whole PS3 just like freezes in this big explosion.
That's a big explosion.
And yeah, it was pretty intense. It was an intense moment. Mm. And then a trophy popped up on the screen and it eventually
it worked.
Said Medal of Honor on the screen. Like I had gotten to the title.
Ah, okay. Yes, excellent.
So I'll play more. I'll talk about it next week. I just rented it from Redbox.
Gotcha.
It currently has a 49 on Metacritic.
Jeez.
49.
It does not feel all that great to shoot people in the head in this game.
Right.
So far.
I did play it.
It doesn't feel like Call of Duty. That's the problem.
Yeah, it feels like a sort of a poor quality Call of Duty. I mean, I played through the demo level twice, once at TGS and once at what was that, PAX, where I missed everybody's head. But yeah, I'm not interested in buying that game.
It's weird because the last one was all right, like it felt fine aiming and everything. This one, I don't know, something just feels off. Mm. Maybe they were just trying to go in a different direction and it didn't quite pan out, but right. I don't know. I'll talk more about it next week.
Sounds good.
Have you? Did you get Forza Horizon?
You know, I it's coming today. I pre-ordered the limited edition, like a super nerd, and but it comes out. Games come out on Thursday in Japan, so I ordered the Japanese version. So next week, just like Medal of Honor, we'll talk about that.
Thanks, appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, there's another burp for you.
Appreciate it.
It's gotten good scores. Forza has,
except from Polygon.
Oh, is that a fact, or are you just making a joke?
No, they gave it a 6.
No, they gave it a 6. Oh. But I don't know what that means. With
well, they haven't given any other games a 6 yet this month.
This month? Oh, is that what it is? You can only give out...
I think... Wombat thinks Polygon using the entire review scale means they have to use every number.
Oh.
Like,
they have to use all the scores.
Right, they can only use one number
a month
once until they have to go.
They have to go through
the entire scale before they can use that number again.
Otherwise, it doesn't seem like they're using the whole review scale.
Exactly, they have to use every part of the buffalo.
Gotcha. I don't think that's true. I'm going to go on record saying that I don't think that's true.
I think we just need to Polygon needs to get more scores up to where we can tell what exactly their scores mean. I think that's pretty much what needs to happen. Because right now, it's really confusing to look at their scores. Right, like
Madden. Well, they've only had a website for a day, so cut them some slack.
Right.
A lot of people asked about what we thought of the Polygon website. Should we talk about that now?
We can talk about that real
quick.
We'll
talk about
it. Yeah, it's a new release.
It's a new that's right.
It's a new release. Good call.
So, where's the question? It was actually, I think I put it on here. Where was the question? Give this guy credit, one of the dudes. Greg Allure wants to know if we think the Polygon hype train was justified. You know what we should do is, you know how they Polygon reviews the games. There's one dude who writes the review and obviously plays through the game, but then they have a meeting to assign a score to the game. Like everybody puts their 2 cents in, I guess, based on the content of the guy's written review, not necessarily whether they've played the game or not or what they think, but their interpretation of what number should go next to the score, next to the article. So maybe we should all decide on a number for the Polygon website.
You lost me. Okay. No.
Sorry.
I think 7.5. Nice. It looks pretty nice so far, I think.
Do you think that the hype train was justified? There was a lot of hype.
It's a website. At the end of the day, it's a website that has articles about video games on it.
Right.
It looks nice. It has a nice look to it. It seems to have some neat little, I don't know, like tricks to it.
It looks very nice on my iPad.
It's definitely very mobile friendly. I think sometimes on my computer, the articles load a little slowly because they are graphically very heavy.
Hmm.
I do like that they already made I had one complaint this morning and they already fixed it, which I think shows that they're paying attention. You know, I did not like that 728x90 ad that they had on there and they already replaced it with the 970. So,
The 970. Yeah. That's my favorite number.
I was hoping they would upgrade to that.
Yeah.
The Opal pushdown is the hottest thing in web ads.
I still see the regular banner, by the way.
No, you're seeing a 970.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's longer and thinner.
It's not. You think I don't know what a fucking...
It's not a 720.
Maybe in Japan, maybe since I'm not in America...
They haven't updated it yet?
No. It's region. It's geo whatever.
What geo-targeted to US only?
Yeah.
What ad do you have?
Fucking, I don't know. Full Nelson something?
Oh, yeah. You definitely have something else.
Gay football player speaks out. Mm.
What are you on?
I'm on Polygon.
I mean, at the end of the day, they have very good talent there as far as writers and everything. So that's all that really matters.
I was expecting
the site will be just fine.
I was expecting a lot more, actually. I was expecting a lot of features, like website features, not articles. And you know, the content is obviously very good, but it doesn't even have like the features that like IGN or GameSpot have, you know, like collections, wish lists, things that the CAG has too. I was worried actually that they were going to, you know, like have price search and things like that we have on CAG, but it's really just basically, I mean, is it that much different than Kotaku or Joystick? The only difference really is besides like, you know, like the mobile layout and stuff is they have forums. Right.
Yes. And there's
their page never ends.
And the page never ends.
Which is weird.
Which actually bothers me. Like, I need closure. Like, I need to know, okay, I've read everything on this page. Let me move on to the next one.
Right. You start, like, convulsing when you start keep scrolling.
Yeah, it's like, I want to get this scroll bar all the way down. Right. That's my goal here. Like, right. Once I get all the way down, I know I've won this page.
You've won the page.
I've won the page.
Anyway.
It's even unlocked.
I wish all these guys the best of luck. You know, I know a lot of them personally, and they're nice guys and good mm-hmm. writers and all that good stuff. So certainly wish them the best of luck.
I'm glad they launched.
Yes,
I'm glad
me that too. They launched. There's another new episode of The Cooperatives up, which is the little web series with Chris Plant and Russ Frischerstrick.
Right.
And that's very funny. So you should watch that too. That's on Polygon.
What score do you give it out of a 10?
I would give The Cooperatives an 8 out of 10.
No, the website.
Oh, the site?
We have to decide. We all have to decide on the score.
I already used an 8, so I'm going to have to go with a 7.9.
No, it's a 7. You have to do 7.5. It's an increments of 0.5.
Is it increments of 0.5?
Yes, Wombat. Okay. Don't you know anything about? You don't know shit about Polygon.
I guess not.
Didn't you watch the movie? There's a fucking movie about it. I give it a 7.5. Only because of the hype. There was so much hype behind it, and my expectations were above what was actually presented. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of additions to it and stuff. Can we agree on a 7.5 as a collective?
That's a pretty good score.
So it's
especially on their scale.
It's as good as according to Polygon, it's as good as Borderlands 2, but not as
that's really good.
But not as good as Madden for the Vita. So there we go. That's where we are, I guess.
And here we are. And
not quite Madden for the Vita, right, Polygon. Right.
Yes, but significantly better than Forza Horizon.
They could put that on the homepage.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, good luck to those guys. We kid because we love you.
Yes, we do. We you're all great.
Not all.
Okay, mostly.
You know who I'm talking about. Come on.
I do.
No, you don't. Because I don't even know who I'm talking about. Anyway, we're doing new releases. We started talking about Polygon. I don't know what the hell happened.
It was new.
Right.
Skylanders Giants. That is out.
You have it.
I do. It came in the mail today. So I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I have been going to different stores, though, and posting my pictures.
See what the inventory looks like?
Yeah. That's kind of my thing on Twitter right now.
It is a billion-dollar franchise. It is a billion-dollar game franchise.
It takes up a lot of shelf space at big box retailers.
That must mean they're selling them. Because when you stop selling, when they stop selling, then you become like Guitar Hero.
Right.
And then you're like $5. Let's see. What else we got here?
The Cabela Dangerous Hunts 2013 and Cabela Hunting Expeditions came out this week.
Is that the one with the gun that takes your pulse?
It is with the Fear Master. I have one sitting in the box next to me. It came in the mail today.
Oh, be afraid.
I'm going to master my fear.
Yes.
And kill a lion.
What else? I saw Unfinished Swan came out this week. I didn't even know that was out so soon. I did not.
It was out last week for PS Plus members.
I did not know. I did not
Stop
buy it.
Stop finishing me, Swan.
I've played it. I played it at TGS. It seemed cool. It seemed very artsy fartsy. Has it been getting good reviews? I haven't really been following it. Let's see. Unfinished Swan Metacritic. 78. That's pretty good.
Sure.
I like it. Good. Maybe I'll have to check that out. Shit. Good. I'm excited. What else?
Killzone Trilogy came out for PS3. Mm. 2 is a really good game. Killzone 2 is really good. 1, I didn't think that much of, but now that you get the HD version of that, I guess.
Right.
And 3, I never finished 3.
Yeah, me
neither. It wasn't as good as 2.
Me neither. I never finished any of them. I bought Hotline Miami for the PC, mm-hmm. which came out this week. Mostly because it was, you know, it seemed pretty cool and it was cheap. So I figured I'd give it a go. It's a really interesting game. It's a top-down, ultra-violent... It's an action game in a way, but there's a lot of strategy to it because the game moves very quickly. And you're a killer in the game. You play a killer who basically goes into different environments and kills everybody in the environments. They're supposed to be, it seems a lot like Drive, inspired by Drive, in that you're like that vigilante guy who's going in and killing bad guys in very violent ways. It has a really cool electronic soundtrack that goes along with it. A lot of style. Unfortunately, there's a bunch of technical issues right now, which I'm sure will be ironed out with patches on Steam soon. It doesn't, I don't know, I get a lot of, there's some resolution problem, I think at like 1080p or higher, where it just, there's like lines that, horizontal lines that run up. It looks like, if you ever try to film a, like a computer monitor with a video camera that's of a lower resolution, it looks like that a little bit on my computer anyway, because there's no options in the game menu at all. You can't select a resolution. You can't select like sound levels. You can't select anything. It's just play the game. You can't change the keys, key bindings, or anything like that. And they pulled out the controller, Xbox controller support, because it was broken. So that should be fixed pretty soon. But it's really cool. There's a lot of planning that goes on, because you can't just like run into a room and mow people down. You have to, it's like stealthy in a way, in that, like, you know, you have to, sometimes you're going to want to use a baseball bat so you don't alarm the other guys, and you have to plan your moves pretty, you know, pretty well. Otherwise you're just going to die instantly. And it's one of those games where you're just like on the iPhone, where you die and then you just, you know, you're restarting a lot because you die so much and, you know, instantly. But it's very cool. I definitely recommend, you know, watching some videos of it and checking it out. So, yeah, Hotline Miami on PC this week. Very looking forward to playing more of it. I think I'm going to give it a try with the controller support once they get that ironed out, because it is like kind of a Twitch game, and maybe it'd be a little better. But it's good. I recommend it. And it's coming out for Mac, too, at some point. So, yeah. Hotline Miami, bitches. Anything else?
I bought for the Vita, I bought Zero Escape Virtue's Last Reward. It also came out for 3DS. That's the follow-up to 999, which was a DS game.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you guys remember that game.
It's on sale on Amazon right now for $10, I think, or somewhere.
I think for 15, which for 15 for $9.99 is, it's definitely worth it. It's one of my favorite DS titles. It's like a graphic adventure, where, you guys seen the movie The Cube?
Yes, that's the with the traps and shit.
Yeah, with the traps. Yeah. So basically, nine people are mysteriously show up in this environment. And there's all these puzzles they have to solve to get out of the rooms, and you can become allies with different with the different characters, or you can decide that you don't like that character very much and go with somebody else. So there's like 24 different endings to the game. So there's a lot of like choose your own adventure style stuff to it as well, and it's very dark and weird the way it's written, but the dialogue's good. And yeah, the Zero's or Virtue's Last Reward, it's got a terrible name, I'll tell you that. I bought the thing and still had to be looking at the box to remember what in the world I just bought.
Right. That is zero is probably the only word you remembered.
Right, because the lead bad guy in these games is Zero. So they actually rebranded 999 as, I think, Zero Escape 999 to try to like tie all these games together.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but it's a good game. It's like a dark Professor Layton with a better story, I would say.
I like our storyline.
Yeah, that kid would get killed like instantly.
What does this button do?
But yeah, it's great. It's $40 for the Vita. You can get the downloadable version for $35. I would go to the downloadable version, because I bought the physical version thinking that, hey, I kind of want to have this game for my collection. And you open up the case and it's just the game inside. There's not even a manual or like an ad for some Cheetos or anything. It's just the game.
Right.
Which apparently Vita games, Sony doesn't require you to have a manual in there. It's only a digital manual is the requirement. Whereas the 3DS, Nintendo requires you to have both a paper manual and a digital one.
Hmm.
So the 3DS version of this game has a manual, but they didn't just make that into a Vita version.
Right. They wanted to save money.
Sure. So yeah, but if you haven't played 999, definitely pick that up because everybody has a DS. So
sweet.
Pick that up.
Anything else that we missed here?
Did you play on the Vita? Did you play that free one? The Frobisher Says?
No.
Okay. It's like WarioWare Twisted.
Vita has like become the same thing as my PSP and my DS, where I couldn't really tell you where it is in my apartment right now. And if I could find, and even if I did find it, I couldn't tell you where the charger is. So it would be a lot for me to get that shit up and running. A lot of things would have to come into alignment for me to
That sounds pretty strenuous.
Yeah, I'd have to find the Vita, and then I'd have to find the power supply, and then I'd have to charge it. So it's a lot of hours of work would have to go into playing it. And then I have to I'm sure the firmware needs to be updated. Like, I pretty much guarantee that. So yeah, I'm not willing to do that much at work, really, even to play a free game. But is it good?
Not really. You don't need to do that.
Oh, stop looking for it.
It's like WarioWare Twisted. I was trying to play it like just laying in bed, and it's one of those things where it has like you need to spin around like in your chair or whatever to find stuff. And there was like parts where it wanted to take pictures of me, and I'm sitting in the dark, and it didn't like that. You can skip those, but I don't know. It's worth the free.
All right. Sweet. That's a great great endorsement right there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Cairo came out, but we can talk about that a little bit further down, I think.
Okay. I didn't play it. I played a little of it, but not as much as I'd hoped. Let's do a quick little plug for GoDaddy for all your web hosting and domain registration needs at GoDaddy.com. Some coupon codes for you, 10% off any order, CAG10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domains, godaddy.com. Should we move on to multi-platforming Wombat's news and stuff?
Well, I have a contest.
You do have a contest?
Yes. I have a 360 code for The Walking Dead Episode 4.
Oh, all right. How would you like to give it away?
I think that let's see, how do we do this? I think you have to post in the CAG forum.
Constructive comments.
A constructive comment in the CAG forum. And also, you need to be following me on Twitter.
Oh, so shit.
Make sure that you post your Twitter name as well.
Wombat wants to get those Twitter followers.
Hells yeah. I lost some. Actually, that's not true. I gained some. I don't know. When I stopped...
Oh, that was the exact opposite of what you said.
I know. It was weird because I went on this weird downward trend where it was like 1 week I lost like 12 followers and then I gained them back. Right. So I'm kind of level and I don't want to be level.
You really look at that shit? Like, who looks at that?
For some reason, because I don't know, because I care.
Because you... Whatever. Because you have a job and you're sitting at your computer at work and you're bored off your ass. You're like, let me see how many Twitter followers I lost today.
Yeah, usually eating lunch.
Right. That sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And in the show thread, you have to mention that you want Walking Dead. It's for the Xbox, you said, right?
Yes, for the Xbox. So Xbox only, mention that you want it. Post your Twitter name so I can confirm that you are indeed following me.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Okay. I bought XCOM for the PC. Enemy, what is it called? I don't even know. XCOM, shit.
New Enemy one. Unknown.
Enemy
I think.
Unknown. Is See? That it? Title Unknown. XCOM Title Unknown for the PC. I think Wombat would really like this game because it seems that someone was finally able to make a strategy game. This was developed for consoles. Even though I'm playing on PC, I'm still using the Xbox controller because it was really designed from the ground up to take advantage of the controller. And you can see that when you play the game, it works great with a controller. It's very I don't want to say it's not dumbed down, but it's very manageable for somebody like me who does not play strategy games really at all. I understand what's going on in the game. The action is pretty good. You know, it's still like a turn-based squad, you know, strategy game, but they've added in some things that I haven't really seen before. And maybe it's just because I don't play these games, but it enhanced my enjoyment of the game. There's like sort of little action cutscenes in the battles that you're doing. So like if you move one of your troops from point A to point B, you might see like a little short cutscene of him, you know, a close-up cutscene of him running to that next point. Or, you know, when you're taking out a bad guy, you'll see a little nice little pull-away shot of, you know, the guy aiming and blowing the alien's brains out. Nice little touches like that. Like I said, the controller works really well. You have, you know, like you're this top secret anti-alien agency, and your central command center is laid out for you on the screen, like when you're not fighting, and you're buried underground, and you can see all like the different aspects of your organization there. So like you have your barracks, and you can see this is all taking place underground, and the barracks are connected to like the satellite uplink, and you're upgrading your facilities.
Almost like an ant farm, right?
Exactly like an ant farm. Except there's no ants.
Yes, there are people instead of ants. But
right. But you decide like what you're going to build. You have to excavate an area and then choose like what facility you're going to build there. And, you know, there's weapons for your squads, and you're upgrading the weapons and researching them. And it's really well done. I feel like Wombat, does that sound like something you would like?
Oh, no. I've seen this game in action.
Oh, okay.
A preview of it. And I thought it looked amazing then. So yes, it is something that is of interest to me.
Yeah, okay. It's fun. It's hard. It's challenging. But
that's what I heard. I heard that it's really difficult, though.
I think what the way to play this game is to save often, and I just forget to do that a lot. And then I, you know, go through some long battle, and then I just die. Or, you know, when you have your squad members, and they advance, they rank up as you're playing, and then if you have like some guy who's really good and then he dies, like he's dead, he's not coming back, right? So then you have to start over again with rookies. And but I like it. I like it a lot. I would recommend it. I look forward to playing more of it. Too many games is the problem. I'm buying all the games and I'm not finishing any of the games. So yeah, there it is. XCOM.
Did you finish Borderlands 2 yet?
No. Level 22 or something like that. It's
really?
Too many games.
You're
level
22? I'm level 20 and I'm way behind.
Dude, but I stopped playing for a while because I started buying all these other games. And it's annoying. And I'm mostly on PC. Like, I bought Dishonored. I bought War of the Roses. I got Borderlands.
How is Dishonored? You haven't even played it yet,
I played a few hours of it. It's good. It's not... Somehow, it's not sucking me in.
Hmm.
I don't know why that is, but
I don't know.
It seems pretty good. But it's not like I feel like there's a lot of other games I'd rather play first before.
Well, what are you gonna do with Assassin's Creed? Assassin's Creed comes out on Tuesday.
Dude, this is ridiculous. I got Forza coming today, which is a very big game. Assassin's Creed is coming out next week, but I kind of want to wait for the PC version, but I also kind of don't, because I think it's going to be fine on console. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's bad. And it's just too many games. And then Need for Speed Most Wanted comes out, which I already ordered that.
But Halo.
Halo, you know, I could take it or leave Halo. We'll see.
I want to play Halo.
You want to play the single player?
Yes.
Right. I don't care too much about the single player. So too many games is the problem.
Yes,
I beat Borderlands 2 again.
That's frightening.
I've beaten it twice now. Yeah. Once on PC and once on 360. Mm.
Do you know which one of the three of us has no kids? Can you tell, listeners? Do you know?
Right.
I played some of the Scarlet Pirate's Booty. I don't remember what the full name of that thing is. Right. The first DLC.
Hmm.
It's kind of broken, like as far as leveling goes. And like we went into it like level 37, I think. And all of the enemies were dying in one hit and giving us one XP, which isn't all that exciting to play.
It hasn't scaled the enemies properly.
I've heard that it scales them on the first playthrough up to level 35. And then if you go through on the Vault Hunter mode, the New Game Plus mode, that it scales it better. But I don't know what the decision was to only scale up to level 35 on the normal playthrough.
Gotcha.
There's a lot there, it seems like. There's a ton of missions.
Hmm. Cool. Well, I haven't finished this. I haven't finished the first one yet, so. The main game, so. I'm going to pass on that for now. What else we got here? Multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff.
I've been playing a PC adventure game that just came out either... I guess it was last week because it wasn't on the new releases this week.
Right.
It's recent. I know that. Edna and Harvey, Harvey's New Eyes.
It sounds awful. That's a terrible name for anything.
It has Harvey in the title twice.
Yeah.
It's a lot
of Harvey. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I can't defend the title. The game is pretty good.
That's what I mean. Tell me the game is good. Tell me the game is better than the title.
The game is better than the title. Harvey is a
rabbit,
stuffed rabbit.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. He's a stuffed rabbit that hypnotizes the little girl you play as, who is not Edna. Mm. Edna is your best friend in the game. But it's got. You play this sweet little girl that lives in a convent, but she just happens to accidentally murder all the other children individually as you solve these puzzles.
Oops.
Yeah. So it's got kind of a Sam and Max quality to it there. I don't know. I'm like four or five hours into it. It seems pretty long, but it's a traditional point and click adventure game. It has the little jokes, like you get a hairpin and attach it to a bomb to make a hairpin trigger, and that's how you solve a puzzle. So you guys would not be interested in this game.
Right. Now I'm already falling asleep.
Right.
Uh-huh. But how about Cairo? You won't be interested in that either one.
No,
that,
I won't.
I liked it.
Tell me about it. I saw the opening screen and then I tried to walk and then my computer's like, nuh-uh.
Not on this computer, boy.
So Cairo is an indie game made by one guy and one musician. I saw it at PAX 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a first-person exploration and puzzle-solving game. So that there's no enemies and there's really no way to die, because even if you fall off the environments, it just places you back up onto them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very minimalistic looking. Everything's very boxy, kind of reminds me of like when PC games first started going into like 3D looking.
Right, right. They were very limited in what they could do, especially like first person.
Yeah, like the textures are kind of plain looking, but somehow that look combined with the music really gives it a cool atmosphere.
Hmm.
How much have you?
I played like 5 minutes.
Okay, so you're probably still on like the first puzzle,
right? Remember. Right. I didn't do anything.
So there's no story or dialogue or text in the game. It's strictly just walking around. You can walk. You can hold down the shift button to jog or sprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much faster, and you can jump. And there's hardly a portion of the game that you need to either sprint or jump. So it's pretty much a game about walking around and looking at stuff and solving puzzles by walking through those puzzles.
Hmm.
So it's very much a like an artsy style game that it feels like there's a lot of meaning to it and it's open to interpretation, but it seems like some bad stuff went down.
Okay. You like it so far?
I beat it. It's about 3 hours long to beat it. There's some secrets in there. There's a secret ending that I haven't figured out how to get yet. Like I said, it's very abstract. But Yeah, it's $8 right now. You can only buy it on the game's website, which is just look up Cairo. It's K-A-I-R-O.
Right.
And it's also on the Steam Greenlight thing to get voted on.
Oh, okay. So cool.
You can check it out there as well.
Sweet.
But for $8, I think it's worth it.
All right. What's this Happy Action Theater? Oh, that's the free to play. The
it's
first
not free. To... No, it wasn't free. No, that no. You're thinking of Happy Wars.
Oh, what the hell is this?
It's a game I bought. It's made by Double Fine. It's a Kinect game that was on sale last week.
So right.
$5. And Sabrina and I played it. And when it works, it's a lot of fun. But it's a Kinect game, so it doesn't always work.
Right, which is every Kinect game. It's like, oh, when it works, it's pretty cool. But
yeah,
when it
it's
works.
It's hard. And in my house, like Sabrina has to stand on the couch for the Kinect to even register her because she's tiny.
Right.
But she enjoys it. And it allows me to kind of sit there and do nothing while she jumps around on the couch.
You like that?
I do kind of like that a little bit.
You can check how many Twitter followers you've gained and lost over the last day.
Over the last day while she jumps on the couch. Says, Daddy, Daddy, jump on the couch with me. And I'm like,
no, shut up. I'm down two followers. I better come up with something witty here. Hold on.
Hold on. Is this funny to you, Sabrina?
Right. Let me vet this through you. Is this going to offend too many people? Am I going to lose followers if I make some Mitt Romney joke?
Exactly.
Let's see.
So it's a kid's game, right?
Yeah. It is a kid's game. It has anyone of any age could play it because you don't do anything except stand there.
Sounds like a great game. Huh.
Yeah.
So we've gone from a game where you walk to a game where you stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can dance.
Games are really progressing.
Mm. It's like filters on your TV. Like if you ever... Little kids will like it because they get to see themselves on television.
Right.
That's pretty much the gist of the game. Look, I'm on television.
Double Fine likes taking those. Is this their second Kinect game? Third Kinect game? How many fucking Kinect games have they made? They made the Muppets one. Not the Muppets one. The Sesame Street.
Same thing. They're Muppets.
Sesame Street. And this Happy Action Theater. Is that it? I feel like there's another one.
Mm-mm.
I don't think all the Sesame Street characters are Muppets.
They are.
Well,
they are
Big
from
Bird's
the Jim
not.
Henson. Big Bird is too a Muppet. He's from
not,
the Jim
He's like dude in a suit.
Mm.
So that's like saying Sweetums isn't a Muppet.
Who's Sweetums?
I don't know. I don't think Big Bird's a Muppet.
Sweetums is a Muppet.
Is
Big Bird
a Muppet?
I feel like Muppet has to be a puppet.
No, because there are in-suit Muppets on The Muppet Show. There's Sweetums, there's the ones, the purple guys with the pink hair that are, you know, they wear the tuxedos, they're in the intro. Mm. There's that blue one with the snout. They're all on The Muppet Show. Those are Muppets.
So if you're on The Muppet Show, you're a Muppet? I don't think that's...
Yes.
What if you're a guest star? You're a human?
If you're a human, you're not a Muppet, but that's where the line is drawn.
Mm. Man or Muppet, right? Isn't that from the new Muppet movie?
That is from the movie, which I've seen too many times.
All right, what up?
Big Bird, it looks like Big Bird is a Muppet. He's on the Muppet Wiki.
Oh, excuse me, what was that?
Wombat got one right.
Let us all bow down to Wombat's Muppet knowledge.
Muppet and elongated man knowledge. Let's get this episode straight.
What else we got here? Blah, blah. Lovin' Beer Lex writes in and wants us to talk about Tony from Amazon's ban from Gaff, as well as the Eurogamer flack. Well, Tony, who, as if you were on the Cheap Ass Gamer message boards, Tony works for Amazon's digital PC download department. And he, you know, posts deals and stuff on CAG. He's awesome, of course. And I guess he violated some rule at GAF. And rather than just, you know, saying, hey, don't do that, or we have rules here, you know, please try to respect them, they just permabanned him. Which, to me, seems like a really weird move, unless
you're NeoGAF.
Yeah, and you just, like,
that
get off.
That seems like a total NeoGAF thing.
I think they get off on banning high-profile members. Maybe it's, like, a power trip thing. Maybe it's a publicity thing. Maybe it's simply they feel like they have these rules in place, and they should apply equally to everybody, and there's just no room for any type of discussion or
maybe they're just a bunch
leeway.
Of dicks.
Yeah, I'm
just,
gonna that sounds like
box
it.
Full of dicks is where I'm going.
Box of dicks?
Box of dicks.
Alright, yeah. Well, I'm glad, frankly, that he got banned from GAF. I don't want him posting on GAF. Everybody should ban Tony, except for CAG. That would be the best possible scenario. So please, ban Tony everywhere. The Eurogamer thing. Do we want to get into that? I mean, I read the article on Eurogamer. I read the article on the Penny Arcade Report about... I mean, this story has come and gone like a billion times about game journalists and ethics, the ethics of the game journalism.
It all started, there was a picture of Jeff Keighley mm-hmm. with a bunch of Doritos and Mountain Dew, all branded Halo brand, just like...
Your picture.
sitting right with him.
Right. And he's looking kind of unhappy in the picture.
Well, you know, it's a picture.
It's just a picture of, I'm sure he was doing a video.
Oh, it's a still shot.
It's a still shot from a video. It's an in-between face. It's not an unhappy face.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, this photo's been circulated around completely out of any type of, devoid of any context.
Right. Sure. So there's this picture from a video with Jeff Keighley and, yeah, the Doritos and Mountain Dew and what? And
let's talk about that first before we get into the Eurogamer stuff.
Okay, sure.
I don't consider Jeff Keighley a journalist.
No, I consider him like a talking head at this point.
I consider him a talk show host.
Yeah.
A personality, if you will.
Yeah, like here is a world exclusive video of Halo is not journalism. It's, hey, I have this show and they gave me this footage.
Right. I'm a producer of this show and I have certain.
Less Edward R. Murrow, more Ryan Seacrest.
Well, yeah,
He's Ryan Seacrest for video games.
Which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
To be the Ryan Seacrest of video games.
Right. Seacrest out.
Seacrest out. Wombat out.
Yeah, it's Keighley out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Jeff Keighley, like, that's what he's evolved into. He was a journalist at one time.
Right.
But right now, he is the Ryan Seacrest of video games. So it's not like there's this unholy thing where he's surrounded by all these products. Seacrest is, he's got Coke surrounding him at all times. It's the same thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he used to do this, I used to like that show on G4. I think it was just, wasn't it just called G4, the show where it was him and maybe like three other people. And they just basically sat around a table and they talked about games. And that, there, you know, there was some opinion going on. There was, you know, it wasn't just presenting information like you would a news anchor.
I think
anchor.
Is where it gets a little bit confusing because Keighley does still, I think he still does like some reviews and type.
Does he?
Type things. I don't know.
I don't think
does
so.
He?
I was going to ask you that. Does he even review games anymore? Or does he just kind of host those roundtable stuff on game trailers?
Right. He hosts the bonus round. And there, you know, he's very good, by the way. I think he does a really good job. I don't think there's much wrong with that. That he's
and I have another question. Is it really so far out of left field for Halo to be sponsored by Mountain Dew and Doritos? Is this so crazy to people? Like I can't wrap my head around Halo and Mountain Dew. How does that even go together?
Right. It's not like Unfinished Swan is being sponsored by.
I know. We're talking Halo. And Mountain Dew.
It's about as mainstream as you can get in the world of video games.
Yeah, and are people really so anti? Even if he was just doing a news bit, I'm looking at that still. If you buy Mountain Dew and Doritos, you can unlock more XP for your Halo 4 game. There's news in there. It's not even like it's completely useless and devoid. If you're a Halo fan, that might be worth it to you. It might be worth buying a $1.50 soda that you'll never drink just for that XP.
Right. Yeah, I didn't really see what the big deal was. I don't think people are, like Shipwreck said, he's a presenter, mostly.
Exactly.
Except when he's, you know, whatever. I don't think there's a big deal. There's any big deal there. But the Eurogamer article focused on that partly, and also the article was about, you know, game journalists and ethics and acting professionally and how close most game journalists are with PR, game PR, which is basically your enemy, should be in the way the article stated it. Like, these guys should be enemies, right? You shouldn't.
What?
Which is dumb. Which is a dumb way to think in general.
It's a terrible way to feel about enthusiast press.
Right. I didn't agree with the article, I have to say.
Neither did I.
it was pretty strong, and just it's just, this shit pops up like every couple months. You know, the article also complained there was like a game media awards, and I guess they were giving away PS3s, and you had to tweet something out, so you had game journalists tweeting out stuff about another product, and people thought then the author of the article thought that was pretty shady, and we should expect better from everyone.
Well, in that one, he was specifically calling out a specific journalist, though.
Right, this girl, Lauren, who I know her. I mean, I've spoken to her, not recently.
Yeah, we've talked to her.
But she used to work for Destructoid, I remember. And I remember there was some discussion a super programmer John had with her of doing game reviews on CAG.
Mm-hmm. I talked to her as well.
Oh, right. That's right. You were involved. Yeah, I told him. Yeah, right, right. So anyway, what did she do? Same thing, right? Was it the same? Oh, no, this was about Tomb Raider. She basically she put like some Tomb Raider images. I guess like her wallpaper on her Twitter account was Tomb Raider. I guess she really likes Tomb Raider. And people thought that she might do some freelance work for Square Enix. And
That puts up some alarms. Yes. A little bit.
Yeah, you need to have like full disclosure on if you're writing
a
preview.
Here's where I'm going to I'll defend the person in question. And this is where it kind of bothers me a little bit. The Eurogamer article really jumped down this girl's throat, as did the Penny Arcade with Ben. After Eurogamer took everything down, Ben Cacciaro made sure to put everything back up on his website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she, according to the journalisted profile that's on here,
mm-hmm.
she graduated from college this year.
Yeah, she's a young girl.
She's young. Yeah. She's relatively new. She's written 25 articles this year. She's not a seasoned professional. And it may just be inexperience showing, not maliciousness, not being a bad journalist. And I'm sure when Ben Cacciaro was in his first year of being...
How about Ben Cacciaro? What about him?
Ben Cacciaro, whatever. Cacciaro, you say tomato, I say tomato.
Right, okay, yeah.
I'm sure when he was in his first year of video game journalism, he wasn't perfect either. And right. I'm sure he would have appreciated it if a seasoned professional reached out to him and gave advice, as opposed to writing an accusatory article.
Maybe you shouldn't be employed by the company that you're reviewing
yeah,
your products.
Exactly. Like, hey, you know, I'm researching this for Eurogamer. This probably isn't what you want to be doing. Instead of kind of jumping on her. And
well, let's be fair. She didn't review a product.
And no, that's the other thing. She never reviewed
She's previewing
the game.
It, though.
She's
previewing. It's not even out until next year, right?
She's previewing a game that she's a fan of that no one has said a bad word about yet.
No, but it's... That,
you need to disclose that, obviously. But
yeah, you have to come out and say what kind of relationship you have with Square Enix. You can't just list on your Twitter profile that you're currently doing projects for Square Enix and then say how good Tomb Raider is.
But
you can't be both the PR side and the like.
Does she write for where does she write for MCV?
That I think is where she wrote most recently.
And she's freelances as
right,
well.
Right, right. But I think Wombat brings up a good point. She's a young girl. You know, she could use a helping hand, Ben.
Don't be a bully.
Don't be a bully. Be a helpful seasoned vet.
Exactly. You're the elder statesman of this industry. If you want it to get better, don't be a bully. Help those that are new.
There you go.
Don't be a dick, I think is pretty much the where we're going.
Don't be a dick. That goes a long way. That covers pretty much everything.
Pretty much. And there's plenty of people here that listen to the show, I'm sure, that are – they want to be journalists or they're out there doing their sites or whatever. Just fully disclose what you're doing. I mean, if it's something you don't want to fully disclose, that probably means there could be an issue there.
Right. And always – and I use this for myself, always assume that people will find out whatever you're up to. Whatever you're doing, people will just assume that people will find out. Even if the chance is really small, your life will be a lot better if you have that attitude that if you do something shady, that people will eventually find out about it. So don't do anything shady.
And I think we're also jumping to major conclusions. She may have done something for Square Enix that she put on her resume because she thinks it would look nice, but we don't know what she did. For all you know, it was handing out flyers on a street corner, which would in no way be a conflict.
Right.
Mm.
Street phone. Right. Shipwreck's not so sure.
I'm not so sure on that.
I don't think handing out flyers to make
you don't think handing out flyers for Tomb Raider.
Handing out flyers.
But she's a freelance writer, and
she's a freelance writer, and she's handing out flyers so she could pay her rent. No, I don't think that's really a problem.
If she was going to write a review about Tomb Raider, then we have a problem. But whatever.
But she hasn't.
Yeah,
it's just the usual thing that comes up. It's like a 3-month cycle. Every 3 months, there's some game journalist. Outrage at some game journalist somewhere for doing something.
For a product that really should be nothing but fun at the end of the day. Like,
right.
I think...
It's a lot of money involved.
There is a lot of money involved. That is definitely true. But I think the end user sometimes takes it a little too seriously, as does the person writing about... As does the reviewer.
Well, that's sort of my point about the NeoGAF banning Tony. Mm-hmm. From Amazon. It's like, it's a video game message board. It's a guy, he's trying to, he was basically trying to get people's opinions. He got banned because he made a thread asking, he was basically trying to facilitate, how like on GAF they've got those,
official
threads for each game, and they dress up the first post with a lot of images and videos and stuff. And basically Tony was trying to facilitate
It looks like a freaking ad if you click on one of those.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a bunch of PR nonsense, right. Just all in the first post. It's like, here's every PR crap that's been sent out. Here's every screenshot.
Right.
And so Tony was basically asking, hey, do you want this to be official from the publishers? Do you want help with this?
I can get you like the original high-res screenshots. I can help you out. And he was banned for just asking if he could help with that or if there was any interest in that, and he was banned. It's like, guys, it's a video game message board. But I'm glad he's banned, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, it's their video game message board. They can run it however they want.
Go for it. I'm glad. I think it was the right move, for sure. Please, ban all retailers.
So this Eurogamer, the guy who was the author of this article, though, he's been let go? Is that right?
No, he left because they edited his article after the fact and took all the mentions of her out. At least that's what I read. So, maybe you're right, maybe I'm right, who knows?
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
I read that he left because of the editing that was done to his piece.
Hmm.
It is a strong thing to do to call out another journalist by name in an article, especially if you don't know them,
especially a rookie.
It would be one thing if it was like, let's Ben Gilbert, I'll throw him under the bus, Ben Gilbert, Ben Gilbert on the take from Square Enix, getting paid.
He writes about phones now. Yeah, it's fine.
Right. Exactly. That's actually the reason why I used them. Ben Gilbert on the take, taking money from Square Enix to write positive review of Tomb Raider, veteran game critic.
Do you know, I bought Ben a burrito once at E3, and he was like, it like haunted him. He's like, I shouldn't have accepted that burrito.
You've told the story on the show now 4 times.
I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't tell if he was fucking with me or not. But he kept going like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have paid for the burrito. It's like, dude, we were having dinner. It's like, it's a fucking burrito.
The other thing that I think our listeners need to know about Ben Gilbert, this is now a Ben Gilbert topic,
right,
is he's really easy to get riled up. And both Chiefy and I will send him instant messages with links and statements and quotes from people that we know will just get them all angry.
Right. It's easy.
Because it's easy and it's a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah. You can get them going.
Yep.
I like Ben.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
What else we got here? Here in Wombat's news and stuff?
Zynga let a whole bunch of people go during the Zynga Apple talk.
Right. Yeah. All right. People seem to be like to see Zynga fail somehow.
Well, that's because they, ripped off a lot of ideas.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So people don't like that. I mean, it also means that a lot of people are losing jobs. And I mean, how they got so much support for that business model, you know, games based in Facebook, essentially.
Right.
I don't
know. Do you remember
it
was a big deal.
They had a higher valuation than EA like last year.
And it makes no sense because it was all based around really people going on their computer to use Facebook,
right.
Which people don't, you know, I think I read it this morning. I want to say it's 20 to 25% of all Facebook users only access it via their phone or tablet now.
Hmm.
And you know what you can't do on your phone is play those Zynga games.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a problem.
And that's what you know is killing them. Remember when Zynga tried to make their own website?
No.
They tried to make their own site that you could play their games on?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that worked out for them.
I don't want to play any of their games.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't think anyone really will. I think the super casual gaming market isn't what it was a year ago.
Or maybe people are just sticking with the iPhone games. Like, why deal with all this Facebook nonsense if you could just download a free game or a dollar game on your iPhone or Android phone or whatever? It's like,
I bought a dollar game today.
Which one? Oh, you bought the He-Man game.
I bought He-Man.
How
the
is
He-Man
that?
Game. It's cute. It's cute. It makes a lot of it makes some in jokes about the old cartoon.
Oh,
it's
cool.
It's definitely aimed at the older set. The controls are wonky because it's an iPhone game, and controls on all iPhone games are wonky unless it's like unless it's Fruit Ninja,
right?
Or Angry Birds. The controls suck. But you know, it's cute and it's fun and it's a dollar. So that's pretty much all I can say about it. I like the animation style. It's a little bit different but still classic He-Man. It works. It works.
All right, I'll have to check that out. In other news here, I see two pieces of Nintendo news. I guess they're related. One is that the Wii is going to be sold, the Wii U rather, is going to be sold at a loss, which is obviously very common in the video game industry. The consoles are usually sold at a loss, but Nintendo was, I remember when the Wii came out, the first Wii, they were very proud of the fact that they were making a profit from day one. They announced it. But the Wii U, that will not be the case. They will be losing money on every Wii U sold. And the 3DS as well. When the 3DS came out, they said they were making a profit.
It's that controller. It's that game pad.
Yeah, it's a couple bucks, that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's where all the costs in this thing is.
So yeah, they will be losing money on every Wii U sold, and they've also, Nintendo just cut their annual profit forecast by 70%.
Woo!
Which seems like a lot. Like, I'm not a math guy, but 70%, like, that seems pretty significant.
That's a lot. I got the Toys R Us big book in the mail today.
As did I. I got it a couple of days ago.
Is it big?
Okay.
Yes.
It's about 80 pages.
It's a little underwhelming, to be perfectly honest, but we don't have to talk about that.
Well, what I was underwhelmed with was the Wii U section. I expected to see Wii U on the cover. Like, that's pretty much any new video game hardware usually finds the cover of the big book.
Right.
Nowhere to be seen on the cover. All the video game stuff is in the last, I don't know, 8 pages. Or so.
Well, they're not going to be able to sell very many Wii U's. I mean, there's very few being made. I mean,
they have, it's a half page in there.
Wow.
Half page of a picture of the Wii U that like says, play Wii games in a whole new manner or something. Like, it's very, like, if you looked at it, you're like, is this just something for my Wii? I don't quite understand what this thing is.
Right.
Like, is kind of the way the stuff is worded. Like, you and I would know this is a new system, but it's worded in a way that's kind of weird. And then it has no prices on it at all. And then it has not even box art for the games, but it just has like 3 logos, one for New Super Mario Brothers, one for Lego City, which isn't even out until next year, and one for Scribblenauts.
Huh.
No prices on the games, no accessories anywhere in there. Like, I realized that this went to print pretty early. Like, they had to lay this thing out pretty early.
Right.
But that's not good to just be... Like, it had the Skylanders bundle in there for the Wii.
Hmm.
It had a whole page of Skylanders.
Maybe like, they just figured like they're not going to be able to sell them. I mean, like they're probably all sold out already.
Sell the games though.
Oh, the games.
Games, accessories.
Right.
I don't know. It just, it struck me as being a little bit, I don't know, kind of troublesome.
They spend a lot of pages on those tablets though. Getting kids to buy those. Those
oh, yeah.
Different types. There's so many tablets. Oh,
like the
kids.
Leapfrog thing?
Not even the whether it be the Leapfrog, the Mobi Go, the Mobi 2, which is their version of the like a little iPad, and that's $100. There's also the Moop, I think it's called, or something like that. That's $150. I mean, but they're little mini, they're little iPad lights in their own way that cost $150, and there's the one that comes preloaded with Cut the Rope and Angry Birds, which for $150 is the kind of thing you would buy your kid and you wouldn't have to get them anything else,
right?
And it's I don't know how the Wii U could compete with that if that's the kind of game that you're looking for your younger child these days.
Or how is it going to compete with, the Apple had their big iPad mini reveal.
Yeah, the iPad mini, I don't think it could compete with something like that. It's not the kind of thing for $330. You're not going to buy that for your kids. When you could get something that will probably, Sabrina loves her third generation iTouch.
It depends how old your kids are, though, too, right?
Yeah,
like if your kid is like 12...
Then you
iPad mini might be that's an expensive gift though.
But yeah, you could.
But
you
the might, Wii U is fucking $300 to $350.
You might be better off with a Kindle Fire.
Never say that again. I mean, the iPad mini looks cool. I was surprised to see it doesn't.
It doesn't look cool. There's nothing cool about it.
It's small.
It serves no purpose. Zero purpose.
I saw some post on Reddit and they were like, what kind of situation would I have to be in where I need something that is bigger than my iPhone but smaller than my iPad?
Never. It will never happen. No one needs
this. It's good for kids.
It's too expensive.
It is expensive.
At $330, it is not good for kids.
Well,
at $200, you have an argument. I'm behind you.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I hear you. It's an expensive Christmas present right there.
It's pointless.
Well, they're going to sell a lot of this pointless product.
They're totally going to sell a lot of them. That is not the point. Right. The conversation we're having is not whether or not they're going to sell them.
Right, I gotcha.
The conversation is what's the point. It's kind of like, we'll bring up Ben Gilbert for the fifth time this episode. I was talking with, because he's the only person I know that's, really used the Surface.
Okay.
And I was asking him about that because that interests me.
What?
Let me finish because I'm curious.
Are you interested in dancing?
I'm interested to know what makes it different. And there are certain things about it that I find interesting, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's worthwhile. And, right now the one that's out or it's coming out, is it next week or whenever the hell it comes out? Right. It doesn't have.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have the full, Windows 8 operating system on it. That one won't be out for a year.
Right.
That keyboard, which is actually kind of cool, costs another $150. So it's already, $500 plus the keyboard, which is another $150. So that already, I'm like,
well, this is right up your alley.
I know. I'm like, what the hell's, why would I want this? It's already too expensive and it doesn't, I can't hook it up to the wireless plan I currently have. So I don't understand the whole point on that either, other than the fact that it has a USB port. I mean, and even then, it should have at least two. If you're going to put a USB port on it, put two.
Do you remember when Homer designed the car?
Yeah, that's kind of what this looks like.
No, you need to design a tablet.
I want to see the wombat
tablet.
It wouldn't be much different looking than an iPad. It would just probably have two USB ports or one USB port on it.
And it would be made out of cardboard.
It wouldn't be crazy.
Right.
How are you plugging into these USB ports?
A hard drive. I like the idea of having a full OS on there. If I could hook up a keyboard to it and use a full OS and a hard drive, I can use it as my at-home work computer. That to me
you need a new iMac is what you
that would be useful to me. I can see the use in that. Yes, or a new iMac. But that's
those new
like,
iMacs look nice.
Those new iMacs do look nice. If I could use a tablet as a travel computer with a keyboard and a hard drive where I could take stuff from my, you know, big work computer, which is a beast, and
right,
I could see the value in that. But
just get a MacBook Air.
Yeah, exactly.
Those things are pretty sweet.
What do you think is? Do we know whether the new PS3 Slims are lighter or the new iMacs are lighter?
What do you mean?
I mean,
compared to each other,
the things that you go and sit down once in your house.
Oh no, the PS3 must be lighter. An iMac must weigh 20 something pounds, at least. PS3 doesn't weigh that much, does it?
I don't.
It can't. It's got a 27 inch screen on one of those bad boys. It's got to weigh something. I don't know if I'm going to buy any of those new Apple products, by the way. So all you guys who are sending me those snarky cag bag questions, how excited are you about those? You know, I know you who you guys are trying to
riled up. You don't need any of them. No. Well, then again, no one needs an iPad mini, iPad pod.
All right, let's move on to Cagbag and show us your tweets. This is a good one from GTR Venom. He says, if you could buy only one more game for the rest of the year, which would it be? And I have an answer. It is Assassin's Creed 3.
That's my answer too. So I guess we're at a
You played still. The other Assassin's Creed games?
Yeah, all of them.
You did? And you finished them?
I finished 1, 2, and Brotherhood, I think I finished.
Oh, okay. Shit, I didn't realize that. Oh, you're like me, and you skipped Revelations.
Yeah.
I played a little Revelations.
So,
okay. Yeah. What about you, Ship?
I think Halo.
Right.
It's a toss-up between Halo and Assassin's Creed, but I have Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Revelations still sitting over there. So.
Right.
And I think I could get through Halo quicker. And that's a positive for me at this point.
Right. There you go. Let's see. Gota asks me, if car dealers ever get suspicious because I look at, sit in, and photograph high-end cars but never buy any. You think that they see you and groan now that you're just and know that you're going to waste their time? I don't go to car dealers. What car dealers am I going to? When I take all those pictures, they're just cars on the street. I've never been inside a car dealer, and I've been into a Nissan dealer. It was really like it wasn't even a dealer. It's like one of those, it's meant for you to just go and check out the cars. It's not really, I don't think they actually sell the cars there. The one in Yokohama. But no, I don't do that. I don't go into a car dealer. And who says I don't have all these cars? Maybe I own some cars and I just didn't tell you.
You don't own shit. Next question.
I don't even have a bicycle. Gunmetal Jackal asks, what IP from last gen, PS2, GameCube, or Xbox, would you like to see a sequel or reboot to for the next gen systems? And I'm going to cheat because I think I mentioned this like a couple shows ago. So I already have an answer ready. And my answer is RAD, Robot Alchemic Drive. I would like somebody to bring that. I mean, you know, with awesome graphics and like proper controls, like that shit could be pretty sweet. You guys have any answers to these? Or
I'd go PsyOps.
PsyOps. That's what somebody answered that question for me on Twitter. It was Scorch, I think.
Yeah, I saw. Okay. I read that too.
PsyOps was badass. That game was fantastic.
You know, I still like Second Sight better.
You're crazy.
It's opinion.
But then PsyOps ends on a cliffhanger, and it's like, that's never going to get answered.
right.
But I just like to see what they could do. Like, that game was all about physics and just messing around with crap.
Mm, yeah.
And that stuff has come so long, like so far along since then, that next systems, it would be awesome.
My favorite thing to do in that game would be to stand on a crate and then use it like Magneto to fly around.
Yeah, the game was awesome. If they made it like open world too, this like a Just Cause type of thing, but with all those powers,
that would be sweet.
Hmm. Do you have an answer?
Wrong. Yeah, I was gonna go with Jade Empire, the BioWare RPG.
Oh,
I played the crap out of the game. I thought it was amazing and gorgeous, and that was on old consoles, so I could just imagine what they could do with it, especially BioWare now. And they've been rumored, there have been rumors floating about that game for years, but I would love to see a proper sequel to that game.
Gotcha. Big Bad Benno writes in and asks and says, I seriously hate my job. Can you guys make me feel better by telling us listeners what's the worst job you ever had? Wombat.
Just listen to the second year of the CADcast. That whole year.
The second year? Where was that?
That was when I was working with the milk sniffing.
What company was that?
I don't even want to say the name of it. I don't want to give her the free
What was press. The milk sniffing story? I forgot.
Okay, so I had this boss. And every morning, now, right. For those who don't know, I had a job for a very long time, and I left it for all these promises of amazing career opportunities. So I took the job, and it turned out to be a nightmare, which isn't an uncommon story. It happens to a lot of people, but it's depressing.
Was it at a talent agency?
At another talent agency, but it was with celebrities.
Okay.
And it sounded like a great opportunity at the time, so I took it. And I left a very comfortable job for something that was awful. And this woman would call, and she owned the company, and she would call every morning, and she would call my desk, and she hired me for a relatively important job. And she would go, can you do me a favor? And I'll be like, sure, what do you need? Especially the first time she called. I'm like, yeah, what do you need? I was expecting something important. She goes,
right.
Can you smell the milk in the refrigerator?
Okay.
And I'm like, excuse me? She goes, I need you to smell the milk in the refrigerator and tell me if it's good or not. I was like, okay. And every morning she would call. Every single morning.
Where was she? Why couldn't she go to the refrigerator?
Because she hadn't come in yet. She would call me on her way into the office.
Why wouldn't she just buy some fucking milk?
To ask me to smell the milk to make sure it hadn't gone bad yet. Because once she drank bad milk. I don't know when she drank
There's
bad milk.
There's dates on those things.
Right. Can't you just look at the fucking date? Or why can't she smell it?
And she would need to know if she needed to buy new milk on her way in.
Just buy some fucking milk.
It was like some weird psychosis with the milk sniffing.
Right.
And this was every morning, and it was insane. And she would, I sat in a cube area with two other people, and she would make them cry every day. And every day they would just sit at their desks sobbing.
Right.
And I realized that I was working in the wrong place. It was a really tough time.
That sounds bad. What about you, Ship? Did you have any bad jobs?
I worked at GameStop for a while, but
I didn't know that. Was that in college?
I don't think I knew that.
I worked there, after college. Like, I just got bored and decided, like, after my real job that I'd go and work at GameStop in the evenings.
Right.
So,
because you like games and they have games. You'd be surrounded by games all the time, and they'd pay you.
Yeah, I was in there all the time anyways because, I don't know.
You needed to take pictures of their shelves.
Employee discount?
I didn't do that back then. I did get an employee discount.
Dang, oh, that's worth it.
I got a bunch of wireless Logitech controllers.
It doesn't sound like that was a bad job, though.
That's the worst one I've had. Oh. I mean,
he lives a charmed life.
I really haven't had too many.
I know.
I do.
I, my worst.
Besides the whole face cancer thing, I've been all
right. Right.
even that worked out for you.
I just had a checkup this week. I did not have any more face cancer.
Awesome.
Charmed life.
my worst charmed life. Right. You had like the wimpy cancer. My worst job, I worked as a commercial real estate broker in Manhattan, which means that I would try to rent out office space to companies. So not apartments, but, office space. And this is, unless your father owns an office building or like someone in your family owns buildings and then you're just like you work for them, it's the worst job because it's not like the company that you're working for gives you customers. You have to cold call. Basically, you're supposed to be cold calling all day long, and which is horrible in itself, right? Cold calling is what, if you don't know, is you're a salesman and you basically are just calling somebody up out of the blue trying to get them to buy something. But when you're a commercial real estate broker and you're cold calling like the CFOs of companies who are being cold called by other real estate brokers fucking all day long. So they hate you. As soon as they hear that you're a real estate broker or figure out that you're a real estate broker, you're like probably the fifth guy to call them that day. And they're just fucking pissed. And it was just, it's just soul crushing. And you only get paid on commission, and you know, you get, you know, you get the commissions when you rent out the space. And it was just, it was totally soul crushing. And, you know, hi, this is, David Abrams from GVA Williams Real Estate. I'm calling because I wanted to see if you, had any interest in this office space that I'm representing.
Like, I'm sorry, who did you say you were calling from?
GVA Williams.
So how did you get this number?
Well, people were like that, and they would just hang up. They say not interested, hang up, or you know.
Listen, you sound like a nice kid, but let me tell you.
No, nobody ever said that. And the worst part is you're sitting. That's not really the worst part, but you're sitting in an area with all like the other young real estate brokers, and so you're basically overhearing. Everybody is listening to your crash and burns, and you're hearing everybody else crash and burn basically all day long, and it's just fucking horrible. And then when you do finally get somebody to fucking come look at office space with, you know, who you've got somebody on the hook, then you have to walk around with them in the fucking city, you know, and try and set up these office tours. It was just, it's horrible, and you're not making any money, so it was bad. I quit. That was the only time I ever quit a job where I didn't have it, anything lined up. It was just like, I can't get out of bed anymore and come to this office. So yeah, commercial real estate broker, horrible job. What else we got here? Let's just go through these very quickly. Blumpies 5 says, hey, Cagateers, we know all about Shipwreck's adventure at a sporting event, not ending well for him, but what was the last sporting event CheapED or Wombat has gone to or plan to go to?
Do children playing sporting events count?
No.
No. Probably a Yankee game. But that was a long time ago.
Shit.
How many years?
Like maybe 4.
I went to a Mets game 3 years ago.
It's not, you know, sporting events aren't convenient from where I am right now. And it also would involve, you know, who, what to do with the children during a sporting event. Like, they're not really old enough.
So you're saying the Mets are not convenient to where you're at right now?
No, they're not that, it's not that close.
How about the Islanders?
Islanders, well, yeah, that would be it, but there's no hockey right now. And again, Sabrina's right. Not really old enough.
Right. You don't want Sabrina hearing fuck every 3 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, you know, she'd probably enjoy it when she's like 8, but the Islanders won't be playing here when she's 8.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. They're moving to Brooklyn.
They're moving to Brooklyn. So there won't be really anything that convenient. I mean, yes, the Mets are the closest thing to me.
Right.
So that would be the easiest. But, you know, it's not like it's, you know, it's not 10 minutes away.
I drove you from your job past the Mets stadium mm-hmm. to your house.
I know.
It's not really out of the way.
It's not that it's out of the way. It's just, you know, it's.
Who wants to fucking sit and watch a baseball game anyway?
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other thing, right. But yeah, hockey's more fun to go to, I think, than baseball.
And Beasley 82 writes in and says, hey Cheapy, it seems since you got your PC you're playing a lot more games than before, but every game you play is on PC. What would get you back to console gaming? Nothing. Exclusive games like Forza. And that also, you made such a big deal about the wireless HDMI to play on your TV, but you seems like you only play on your monitor. Why is that? Because my monitor is a higher resolution than the TV. And if you're using a mouse and keyboard, it's just more convenient to be at a desk than have the keyboard on your lap and such.
I find that I'm playing more PC games too, just because I sit down at my desk and I can instantly play a game.
Yeah.
Whereas like you go in and you boot up the 360 and it just takes a while.
Oh, can we talk about, we didn't even talk about the new Dash. It is so slow. Sure. It is so slow.
I don't think it's out here. I don't think I got it yet.
Oh, it's slow as balls. When you turn it on, it's like a circle. You have to watch the circle spin before it even does the.
Oh, mine does that now.
Whoa!
With the old one.
What a pain in the ass! And if you want to like look at your friends and just and look at it the fun way by seeing all their avatars, forget it. Forget it.
The avatar stuff, it's pretty much useless on the new Dash.
They took away so many features. Unless you actually click on someone to see them, you don't get to see their little prop anymore when you just do the scroll, which I know sounds like something minor to maybe the three of us, but there are people that spent $5 on their props that no one
they
will
want
ever,
that shit to be seen.
Yeah, and they exactly, but no one will ever see them unless that someone actually clicks on them. Hey, I got I have a really cool hoverboard. I would like people to see my hoverboard, but no one will ever see it.
Hmm. Lastly, USFH Bomb asks, how much have Shipwreck and Wombat spent on Skylanders Giants so far?
Nothing.
Ship, did you buy anything?
No, the Activision sent over the starter kit, and it just came in the mail today, so they have now given me an excuse to spend a lot of money.
Ask that question again next week. Although there's too many games. You don't have, you can't be
bothered. Yeah, that's the thing. So many games. Like, I might go out. I don't feel the urge to buy every figure currently, so I might just go out and get, I don't know, another giant and then see what that does for me.
There's an article on Penny Arcade Report where they figure out like how much money you need to spend to see everything in the game.
And it's only like 100 and something bucks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. All right. We made it. End of the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'll remind you to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cheapassgamer.
Yep.
And follow us twitch.tv/cheapassgamer. And Twitter, GPD, Wombat, 5277, and Shipwreck. Wombat will be checking his followers every hour on the hour to see how many he's lost and gained. So make sure you add him.
My self-esteem, it's either do I celebrate or do I sink into depression and eat a pint of ice cream, or do I celebrate by eating a pint of ice cream?
Right.
My fate is in your hands.
Exactly. And of course, get all your web hosting and domain registration shit taken care of at GoDaddy.com. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. It's GoDaddy.com. What else? Anything else? I guess that's it. So we'll see you next time.
Brett's done.